The Business Bunker.
Welcome to The Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, April the 21st. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
How are you?
I'm all right. Is your aircon on, darling? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could hear a little. I thought it was either a jumbo jet or aircon. How's your week been? And I know you always say, well, it's only
Tuesday. It's Tuesday, so well, yesterday was fine, thank you, yeah.
If you weren't so curmudgeonly, after 6 years, you'd know that by now, what I mean is, from last Tuesday when I last waved goodbye to you fondly and sailed off into the sunset.
It's been brilliant.
What have you done since then? Again. Yes.
What have I done?
Yeah, what have you done?
Oh, blimey, I haven't got time. We've only got a two-hour show. I haven't got time to go over all of that.
I'll tell you what the best thing was, listener. Yeah. Well, this morning I was left in charge of Channel Radio.
She was indeed.
I was hoping that after the Superior Show, Barrister Broker would have put some tacks under your tyres.
Right.
So you had a flatty.
Well,
as you,
thank you
hurtled back, and then I could have commandeered the Business Bunker and it would have been all female in here.
Absolutely it would.
Yes. But it didn't happen.
No, it didn't. But you did manage to eat everything in sight while I was away.
I'm absolutely stuffed.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. I've seen what you put away so far today, and it's only just 1 o'clock.
Well, we had paella with rosa negro and squid and paella mixta, and we had Colin on wine calling in from Moreira telling us what to eat with the paella. And then we had, we had those lovely pinchos. I noticed you had a few of those pinchos.
Yeah, yeah.
They were nice. Kebabs to you.
Yeah, yeah.
They were gorgeous.
Yeah.
Marinated in cumin and something else.
And then 3 donuts.
Couple of donuts. Yeah. Slipped down. Although Russell, Barrister Broker, said he couldn't eat any more and then he ate 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Took the whole box.
I know, I noticed.
Outrageous.
It's outrageous, isn't it?
I know, if Laura's listening.
Anyway.
Yeah. And who's our sponsor?
Today's show sponsor is the Federation of Small Business Kent and Medway, and we're very appreciative of all the help and support that they give us. So do have a look at their website, fsb.org. There's loads and loads of benefits to membership. There's loads and loads of things that they're engaged in. We also have on the Kent Business Radio website, on the homepage, an FSB news section in which we highlight everything that they're up to in the Kent and Medway area and all the events that they have for their members and for non-members. So do check that out on a regular basis, because there are loads and loads of interesting things that they have going on. And we will tell you about some of those later on in the show. We have a fabulous lineup of guests, and we'll introduce you to the two lovely ladies that will sit in opposite me as we go through the show. That will be
let's do it now.
No, let's
we
not
always
do it
have
now.
This no, we've conflict never of
done
interest
it. We've never done it in 7 years of doing this show. We've never introduced the guests in advance, and then last week you suddenly decided you wanted to do it.
I just think it's purely, only polite,
purely because you forgot the format of the show.
No, because on the Superior Show, Scoff and Quaff, we always give our
yeah,
guests a
because
little
of
mention.
What you do on the rubbishy show earlier, you now want to bring that level of failure into my show.
Well, is that the one where you kept coming in and popping things in your mouth?
Yeah.
Pretending you were checking the sound levels.
Exactly.
Then a little pincho slid down quite nicely. As you.
Well, I was checking the sound levels.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Brain food. Well, our guests today are the fabulous Samantha Bowen from Hip-Pose Limited. And she hails from Faversham, very near me. And then we have the lovely Sonia Wood, who's the director of EcoSan, which is Eco-Friendly Washroom Solutions. Very exciting. She's from Wootton Road near, or might be Walton Road. Wootton Road, Ashford. Now, I was there the other day at Breakthrough Funding. They must be your neighbours. Are you in the Orange Building?
We're just up the road from the Orange Building.
Next time I'm going down, which is about 2 weeks, I shall come and see
You'll
you.
You'll have to pop in and have a coffee.
I shall inspect.
Oh, sorry, Sonia, she's found you. I'm really sorry about that. You need to move sharpish.
I shall inspect your washrooms.
Yes, absolutely.
Cool.
Lovely.
Well, thank you for that, Jules.
I've wheedled them in.
Yeah, nice. Thank you. Yeah. We would love to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, know, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998, or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away the easiest way to get hold of us while we're live on air is to tweet me at Vanilla Web, and we have already had a few dozen tweets in, and we will be reading them out as we go along. But for the moment, Jules, I think it's about time you actually did some work.
Yeah.
And read an email.
I am actually, well, the amount I've eaten, I really feel like having a little siesta.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. That's why I thought I'd get in early and get you to do something before you nod off.
I will. I might have to, you know, do it when you play James Bond, have a little cat nap.
Yeah.
On the Twitter, as you asked
me
to do an
email. I'm not playing James Bond today, by the way.
Aren't you?
No.
Well, our guest last week, or the week before, I've lost track, was raving about it, and I told him it was my choice.
Yeah, but it's not long enough.
Well, we can do a longer one. We can have Pussy Galore after singing.
Just read an email.
Talking of emails, Echimedia have given us a tweet. And he says, "Hi, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin. Have a great business bunker. Can you mention we will be talking about apprenticeships on Friday at FSB Kent?" So there you see, it fell in rather naturally. That's
well,
why
you've actually
got
an email about that.
Okay.
And if you'd have read the email like I'd asked you, you wouldn't need to have done that.
Is that from Echimedia?
It is. Well, no, it's from the FSB, actually.
Well, they are double whammy.
About the Echimedia apprenticeship event.
Well, yeah. I had it straight from the Eke's mouth.
I saw Brent the other day, actually.
Did
first
you?
Time I'd seen
him. He's been in Dubai.
I know.
Frolicking.
I know.
Did Liz go?
I saw him in Sevenoaks.
Was he brown?
No.
Had he been under a hat then and wearing
factor 50? I don't know. I didn't ask him such things. I saw him in Sevenoaks.
Did he like Dubai?
I didn't ask him.
Really?
No.
Look, our guests are tittering at us.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised you're talking nonsense.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm at a business event. I don't
did
ask
he
him.
Look brown?
I didn't say, blimey, you got a tan, Brent.
Well, I knew that he'd been to Dubai.
So?
And I want to know all about it.
Ah.
Listen, there's an open afternoon, listener, with GoTrain. And GoTrain are saying, this is the Maidstone GoTrain team, they're saying, "We at GoTrain have an open door invite to view our centre so you can really see what we do here to support our clients. It's on Friday the 15th of May, so this is a diary date, 1 to 4pm. And they say, please come along and take a look. And this is an opportunity to meet the tutors and see the courses we offer in action. And workshops will be running every 30 minutes to really get a taste of what we do. And there will be refreshments." Now, this is the reason for going. Girls, homemade sausage rolls. I mean, you know, that's worth going. So that's the Maidstone GoTrain team. Do you know much about them, Paul Andrews?
A little, why?
Well, I just wondered.
Well, you're going to ask me a question about their sausage rolls. Well, what I know you are, so I'm being really reluctant to say that. You're going to say, who's cooking their sausage rolls?
Well, what will their sausage rolls be like?
Have they been on holiday? Or some other nonsense question that you ask
me. Well, have they done a sausage roll making workshop?
I don't know.
Will they do gluten-free sausage rolls?
I don't know.
For me and Sonia?
I don't know.
Okay, well, let's ask them. Are they on the Twitter?
They probably are, yeah, somewhere.
How was your kitchen when you flew home between...
They were just taking the scaffolding down outside, actually.
I bet they thought you'd gone. They're all lolling about
bath. All sitting around having a cup of tea. Cup of tea of the day. No, they were actually taking the scaffolding down when I arrived.
It's quite funny, though, isn't it? If you nip back like that, you could catch people out, couldn't you?
No, they're good guys. So I have no problem with them at all. They're working away there.
There's a story I have about a villa in Spain on the mountain where I am, and the cleaner got caught. The guests arrive unannounced, the owners of the villa, and the cleaner was in their bath. She's terrible, isn't it?
Giving it a good scrub, was she?
It was a man. A male cleaner. Yeah.
Blimey.
And there were crumbs and he'd had a picnic and all sorts.
Yeah, right.
A bit of a scandal.
Cool. Hey, listen, a couple of things I want to tell you about.
Yeah.
First and foremost, as a lot of you know, we get involved in the British Biz Party hashtag on a Monday night.
Yeah.
On the Twitter. And they announce, at the end of each week, they announce someone that wins an award, which is the British Biz Star Award. And we always like to give them a shout out on the radio. So, last night's, or the week before's winner that was promoted last night, has sent me an email, and I'd just like to talk about them a little bit, and offer some big congratulations to Judy Keane and the team, who are British Biz Star winners on the hashtag British Biz Party. And Julie and her team run a company called Pink Jacket Marketing. Pink Jacket Marketing. And they're a marketing agency based in Grimsby, but work nationally. We may be young, but we're full of fresh and creative ideas, and we know that marketing budgets can be low for some businesses. That's why we'll create campaigns and marketing activities around our clients so their budgets are used to achieve the maximum results. Our website is www.pinkjacketmarketing.com, and our new one will be launched on the 1st of June. Is that your phone?
Might be.
Will you turn it off?
It is off. It's your desk here that's making all the trouble.
I'm going to read that again. Sorry for Jules's interruption again.
It's the vibration. Can I turn vibrator off? Let's not go there.
Our website is www.pinkjacketmarketing.com, and our new one will be launched on the 1st of June. So there's a new website coming on the 1st of June. Do keep an eye on us on Twitter, and you can follow them on the Twitter at The Pink Jacket. That's at The Pink Jacket. And we're going to be doing some exciting things in the run-up to the launch of our new website. So do look, keep a look out for them. They're a great bunch of guys up there at pinkjacketmarketing.com on the web, or at The Pink Jacket on the Twitter. Do give them a follow. And while we're talking about the British Biz Party, I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago, we had a winner from there that actually came down to the studio to come on the show on their way to a little holiday in France.
That's right.
Andrea Childs.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Kick Bid Writers.
Yes.
Well, Andrea last night announced that they won the Theo Perfitis Small Business Sunday Award.
And I must say, rather well deserved, because she did. She was very impressive on the show, wasn't she?
She was indeed. So many, many congratulations to Andrea and the team at Kick Business Solutions for winning the Theo Perfitis. I don't know who he is. I mean, he's just some kind of entrepreneur.
Hasn't he been on your show?
No, but funnily enough, Richard Farley has, who was one of his colleagues on Dragon's Den.
Yeah,
Richard's been
nice.
on the Business Bunker, yeah. but Theo hasn't yet. We haven't let him on. He keeps writing, saying, can I come on? And I go, no, not at the moment, Theo. But big congratulations to Andrea and the team for winning Small Business Sunday. And I think I might get Andrea back on to talk about it, actually.
I think so. She's based up north, isn't she?
West Midlands. She's from Yorkshire, but based in West Midlands.
Aye. Not near Poldark, though, is it?
She's nowhere near Cornwall.
We can't talk about Asian, can we, girls? You've seen Poldark, haven't you?
We've had loads of tweets as well. We've had tweets from the Herbs Palsy Group and the Kent Deaf Children's Society. We are still raising funds for the Zumbathon. We have got an email about it later, but there is a Zumbathon taking place on May the 9th, in which if you donate enough money, apparently I'm going to dress up in some outlandish clothes and lead the Zumbathon. But we're nowhere near the total of me wearing anything outlandish at the moment, so...
Well, I've got to go on and donate.
So I suggest you don't donate, really. That's the easiest way of handling that.
Well, the last I heard that the girls had you in some sort of pink tutu and...
Yeah.
I think you seriously need to go to Serenity Becker first and get your legs sorted out in a little wax or something.
You want my legs waxed?
Well, I think so. You know, hairy legs in a tutu.
Just my legs.
Yeah, well, anything really. It depends how much you're going to have on show. Now, Nurse Liz is listening in from Maryland, as you do. What are they, 5 or 6 hours behind? Because she listens to the Superior Scoff and Quaff show, you know. And so she's still up, having probably a breakfast now, and she's retweeted the picture of the show. And Brant McNaughton, the lovely Brant, who's on Dreaming Blue Sky on Twitter, says, yes, she did. Liz did go to Dubai, and he has got some little tan lines.
Has he?
You probably didn't see them.
Well, I don't closely inspect him. I'm not like you. As soon as you see...
I would have done, yeah.
Yeah, I know. As soon as you see Brant, you go all dribbly. You go all dribbly and wobbly at the knees and start going, oh, I love blokes from New Zealand.
Yeah. He is from New Zealand.
I know he is. That's why
you
say I love plates from New Zealand.
Little fish and chips.
Yeah, and but I don't do that.
But I thought when you're sort of, you know, when men bond in the loo and all that at the urinals, I thought you'd have just, you know.
No, I don't know. Actually, no.
Isn't that what men do?
No, surprisingly.
Oh, I've always thought they did like in rugby when they all dive in that bar.
We'll talk about that later.
Of course, Sonia knows all about it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Who cares wins, listening in as well, good morning or good afternoon to you. New follower, Loretta J. Dockery, sharing computer tutorials and trainings on various format programming, web developer. She's listening from the USA. Hello to you.
Hi.
We get a lot of USA listeners.
We do, increasingly, yeah.
I think because I'm syndicated, Scoff and Quaff is syndicated.
I think it's more likely that Ken Heron just retweets to his hundreds of thousands of listeners.
Possibly. When's he coming on again?
I don't know. I need to speak to him again.
I miss him.
Yes, we do want to get Ken on again, and he will be on again in the next couple of weeks, hopefully. He's doing some very interesting stuff. Will you turn your phone off?
I'll keep it on my chair.
No, just turn it off.
It's off.
Thank you. I'll tell you what, read an email.
Okay, for once.
You can't do anything with her.
New toolkit launched.
She's an absolute pain.
It's because I'm stuffed. I've eaten so much.
You should be.
Quite, absolutely.
I know, I'm a taxidermist.
Did you see the squid I had? A huge squid. It's very nice. Toolkit. It's how do they make the rice black? It's squid juice, isn't it?
Ink. Yeah.
Yeah, squid juice or ink.
Ink.
Yeah.
You probably need to discuss that on some kind of food and drink show
yeah.
at some point. Probably.
We did. We weren't a bit busy eating. New toolkit has been launched to help businesses exploit their intellectual property. Now, who is this from? This is about the IP Finance Toolkit, listener. And businesses are going to benefit from the new IP Finance Toolkit, advising on how to understand and present the value of their intellectual property. British businesses will benefit from this, advising on how to understand, they're saying it twice for some reason. Developed by the UK Intellectual Property Office, the IPO, it will support small businesses to use their intellectual property assets to secure the finance they need for company growth. Now, the Minister for Intellectual Property, did you know there was a Minister for Intellectual Property? Baroness Neville Rolfe, no relation to anyone that might be Australian. DBE, she's got after her name. What does that stand for?
Debbie.
First time he's made me laugh in 6 years. That's very funny. Neville-Rolfe, DBE, says...
Dame of the British Empire.
Really? Have you just Googled that?
No.
Debbie was good. The UK now invests, she says, more in ideas and brands than factories or machinery. Small businesses are the economic bedrock of the UK, and it's vital that we help them exploit their IP to secure appropriate finance and grow. And she says, too often businesses and lenders do not fully identify and value the IP they have. It's essential that we continue to create the right environment for them to flourish, so we can benefit from their creative designs, inventions and ideas. And the IP Finance Toolkit is an important step towards businesses making the most of IP. It's been developed to help lenders and businesses talk the same language when understanding the value of IP, and also to encourage and guide businesses to document their IP assets ahead of any application for finance. Also to help business to develop more effective IP management and commercialisation strategies. And lastly, to raise awareness of the wide variety of finance options available for IP-rich businesses. Now, we will put a little link up about this on the Kent Business Radio website after the show.
Absolutely.
Because two things spring to mind there. The lovely Diane Dupre.
Yep.
And also Anthony Bridle, who's in Canterbury. He does IP.
Yeah.
Know anyone else?
No, but IP is an area of interest, and it's a programme that we want to cover on a later show.
Hugely important, and probably one of the first things you should do when you think of your business name.
Yeah, when you're trying to start up a business, yeah, absolutely.
Nothing worse than investing in all the branding and the logos and the website and the domains and blah, and then somebody else has got it.
Yeah. I see Brent posted a photo of you on the Twitter.
Me?
I think it was you.
Well, I'm not allowed to look at my phone, am I? You've banished it.
I think it was you.
I'm sure it's some sort of hippo, isn't it?
No, it's a dromedary.
That's lovely. Yeah, I love that. So he obviously had a camel ride in Dubai.
Anyway, do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage.
We're going to play a bit of tunage.
Wonder who?
Yeah.
I haven't looked at your playlist.
You haven't.
Move on up. Curtis Mayfield.
Curtis Mayfield. And take the trip.
on the skin, so keep on pushing. Take nothing less than the supreme best. Do not obey, no mistake for safe, but you can pass the test. Just move on up to a greater day. With just a little of faith, if you put your mind to it, you can surely do it.
Right now, there are small business owners like you claiming back on average £46,000 from the government. You see, the government wants to reimburse companies for innovation. What does this mean for you? Well, put simply, if your staff have spent time and resources developing your business, you could claim back cash. We're RIFT. We're specialists in preparing claims for small businesses. To find out from RIFT if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on Tuesday, April the 21st, with me, Paul Andrews, and her, Jill Serkin. Cool. That was a bit of Curtis Mayfield.
Love
there.
That song. I like your playlist. Your floozy that you always play. You know, the one you have the frisson with.
I did not have a frisson with the lady from Fleetwood Mac. That is just a nasty rumour.
Not what I heard.
Yeah. I'm into a bit of Motown at the moment.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is that ready for your Zumbathon?
It could be, actually, yeah. Have you seen my latest video on my Facebook page?
No, I didn't know you
have
had one.
It's cool.
Have you seen that new tool, Vimeo?
New? That's not new. It's been out weeks.
Weeks. Well, you know.
Everybody's moved away from Vimeo now.
What are they on now?
They're on to Meerkat and what's the other one?
Oh, Periscope.
Periscope, yeah.
Because I used to clean my bath with Vimeo.
With a Meerkat?
No. Vimeo.
Yeah. She'd lay in a bath with a Periscope and a Meerkat and scrub the edges of it.
But then
there was also a cleaner in there from Spain. Yeah. I'm following this story, don't worry. Yeah.
Look what my new husband's just sent to Brandt.
Another camel.
Yeah.
Do you reckon they're related?
Probably. So this is my new husband, girls, who's written a book.
Her husband's the one with a beard.
Yeah.
Not the one in the back
of
the truck.
Not the one in a truck.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the one with the dropped lip.
So welcome back, and thank you for your tweets. Do keep them coming. We've had a tweet from the lovely, gorgeous Miriam McGurk, who is now reconnected to the internet up a mountain in Turkey. So welcome, Miriam, and glad you could join us, and I'm glad you got your internet restored in time.
She's probably tucking into some lovely little donkey cheese
Donkey cheese on a stick, possibly.
Yeah. With some fresh almonds.
Absolutely. And we've also had a tweet from Mark Smith at Whitstable Stove Shop over there in Whitstable.
Yes, he listened to the Superior Show this morning.
He did. He does actually mention that he accidentally tuned into Scoff and
does
Quaff.
Does he?
Yeah.
Did he love it?
No. He just said, I accidentally tuned into Scoff and Quaff, but now I'm waiting for the Business Bunker, is what he said.
Oh, okay.
Which is a far better show than the Scoff and Quaff
I accidentally tuned into.
Do you not think he said that?
No.
I can't find his tweet now.
Oh.
We've also had our weekly tweet from Lee Willis, who's the chair of Ancorians Football Club, the community football club over there in Gillingham. And he says, it's Business Bunker on Kent Business Radio with Jules and Paul, and thoroughly enjoying listening in. So thank you, Lee, of Ancorians Football Club, for joining us as always. It's greatly appreciated. And we've also had a tweet from Cars from Kent that says, hi, Jules. Hi, Paul. Could we have a shout out, please, on the Business Bunker? If you're looking for a new car in Kent, or you're looking to sell a car, check us out. Carsfromkent.com. And that's from Mitch. Thank you, Mitch.
I love Mitch.
Do you?
Yeah, I keep...
Does he know?
Well, I keep... It's more what he's selling that I love. I keep looking. I need a new car and I can't really think what to have.
Right.
Because I love my Honda so much.
Right.
I've seen that picture of me frolicking when you were left. When you left. There.
Yeah, I saw that.
Frolicking in the studio.
What I didn't understand was the other one you posted of me from about 3 months ago.
Oh, that's because it's salt wood on the green, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jeff Kipp,
yeah,
who was on the Superior Show, Scoff and Quaff, a couple of weeks ago, sent me in something. They have a pairings dinner, so they've got all these beautiful foods and stuff. And he called it pairings. So, right, of course, I remembered the picture of you with the pears.
Oh,
if you
I
look
see
at that properly, you've got
oh,
the pears.
Oh, I see. I've got pears.
Do you remember
when
I strategically...
Yeah, no, I do remember.
One of my better photos.
I do understand the relevance now. Because she's got a whole back catalogue of photos of me, which she feeds out onto social media on a whim. And then I get loads of abuse, and I'm not even sure why they're being pumped out. But
mostly
there you go.
You dusting and things.
Yeah, exactly. And cleaning the studio and working away.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we've had a tweet from Ejom as well, the lovely Holly Cochran. Ejom are a fairly new recruitment specialist company, and Holly says, we'd love a shout-out, Paul, on the Business Bunker. We're a fabulous new recruitment company in Kent and London. We provide all office support roles, and we cover every area of the business. Please get in touch with me on the Twitter if you want to find out more. And her Twitter is Cochran_Holly. That's Cochran, spelt C-O-C-H-R-A-N-E, underscore Holly, H-O-L-L-Y. Cochran Holly. Do follow her. Ejom is the name of her company, E-J-O-M, and they're recruitment specialists that have recently opened up in London and in Kent.
Lovely. Very beautifully read, may I say. Would you like me to read one?
Yes, please.
There's a gaming industry business leader who's going to head Medway Innovation Board. Now, this is a fairly new little news broadcast. A giant within the British video gaming industry is now heading up a new group to develop business and create jobs in Medway. And this is the famous Paul Jackson OBE, or OB, as you might call him.
Obby.
Chief Executive.
That's Dobby's brother, Obby.
Who's got an Obby? Chief Executive of Dovetail Games in Chatham, and former Vice President of EA Games in Northern Europe Division. So he's now the Chairman of the Medway Innovation Board. He's a leading local businessman, listener, who has won the 2014 Medway Business Awards, and now he'll be using his expertise to help grow businesses in the area. And the board is set to support the development of business innovation initiatives, grow high-value skills and employment, and boost the strength of the Medway economy. It's made up of leading Medway businesses, including BAE Systems, Delphi, Amaro Group, Cura Energy, and Fountain Workshop, and Medway Universities as well. And so the first meeting was in March. And so we look forward to hearing more from them, don't we, Paul Andrews?
We do indeed.
Yes.
We do indeed. Do you know what? It's now an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show, for the first time, our first guest of today, the absolutely lovely Samantha Bowen of Hippos Limited. Hello, Samantha.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Jules.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming on the Business
Thanks
Bunker Show.
Thank
it's
you
an absolute pleasure to have you on. And welcome to your first... Have you been on the radio before?
I have, but not for this business.
Right, okay, cool. So, well-established radio practitioner.
Twice, my second time.
You know, Paul, that Sam had a very interesting story about the IP that you and I were talking about
earlier.
Yeah,
so I understand. Maybe you'd like to tell us about that before we launch into finding out more about your business.
A bit of scandal.
Was it?
Yeah, it was a little bit. My friend persuaded me to get into social media a lot more. And So 10 minutes within setting up my Twitter account, which actually I have to say thank you to Katie King from Zoodicas in
Zoodicas.
Zoodicas,
as I normally
no,
call them.
No, Zoodicas. They're fabulous. And I was really lucky, it's going back a bit, but I was really lucky to win the Kent 2020 Kickstart Business Prize in November 14.
Right.
And November 13. And part of that was some training with Zoodicas, which was great. So within 10 minutes of setting up my Twitter account and, see who would like to follow and learning about hashtags and all the rest of it, I discovered to my horror that there was another company doing the same thing as myself. So I thought, gosh, that's unusual, because for reasons I'll explain in a minute, it's a really niche product. And so I did a little bit of looking at them, and I realized very quickly that actually it was a previous customer of mine who bought from me the year before, a complete knockoff ripoff of my products, and that she purchased, selling them as her own and selling them in Australia.
Oh wow.
So you could have gone one of two ways with that, but luckily I used it as an opportunity to really galvanize myself again. Try and take it as a compliment, although actually if it happens to you, it's very difficult to see it as that way. I'd already had some fantastic advice from Andy Bridle, who you just mentioned. Thank you, Andy. And went back to see him again, and we then were able to put forward our arguments and stop the lady from selling in the UK. I'd have to say, yes, definitely, if you're designing something, there's a little bit of confusion, but people talk about patents or patents. Actually, a lot of the time for myself, my products were down to design registration, which is a slightly technically different thing,
Sure.
A lot cheaper, a lot quicker, and actually shouldn't then put people off. It does give you a level of protection. And I'm really glad I did that.
Absolutely.
So, Sam, how easy or difficult was the whole process with Andy?
Very, very simple. I think it's difficult when it's in a different country. There are levels of IP protection that you can have. You buy in, and as a micro business starting up with very little funds, I obviously got UK wide in Europe. That didn't then actually stretch to as far as America and Australia, but it does protect you within this country. I also had some fantastic advice. My friend here as well from BSK.
That's Sonia.
And Sonia, sorry, yes, Tamala. They also advised for the UK trade and industry as well that there are some things that you can do to actually stop products that infringe on your copyright from being shipped into the country. So there are things you can do. It does take time away from the main thing. But it worked. And yes, the lady ceased selling into the UK, and it wasn't a particularly nice confrontation between her via email, but I'm glad I did it, because I'm fairly passionate about your idea. You don't borrow somebody else's idea and then cast it off as your own. I think that's really wrong.
Sure. Yeah. No. Absolutely.
Well, you've always got people snapping on your heels with.
People are forever copying what I do.
Yeah.
So one of the problems I have is it with jobs in Kent is it's not registerable because it's a natural phrase. And therefore I don't have any IP or any copyright protection because I'm not allowed to have. So people copy it all the time. There's not a lot I can do about it apart from be better than them.
I think it's worth realising as well that, Jules said earlier on, it's one of the first things you should think about.
Yeah, absolutely.
As soon as you've got an idea, get that protected first.
Well, before we start talking, we've not actually got round
to telling you what your business is.
And we will in a moment. Yeah. But you're absolutely right, Sam. And increasingly now, when people start businesses, I have to tell them time and time again that don't just think of the first name that comes into your mind, because you've got to check website availability, Twitter availability, Facebook availability, LinkedIn availability,
trademarks.
You've got to check all that kind of stuff before you launch a business and spend loads of money calling your business something, only to find that somebody else owns the names or the trademarks or whatever, and then you have to start all over again. So, it's incredibly important that you do that up front.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What's Hippos?
Yeah, why don't you tell us what Hippos is?
I have to say thanks to my mum, because my mum actually came up with the name, and it does totally make sense when you look at it written. There's hip and it's pose, and it's, So anyway.
Very good name.
It's clever. It's really clever.
Yes, my daughter was diagnosed with hip dysplasia when she was 6 weeks old. It's a condition which statistics say sort of between 1 to 2 in 1,000 babies worldwide are born with. Actually, more recent research in Sweden is saying it could be anything between 1 and 3%, so it's quite a large number of children are born with that.
Can you just give us an overview of how that manifests itself and what the issues are with it?
Sure, hip dysplasia, I'm not a medical trained person, but hip dysplasia can be in various different forms. It's not what people think of as like a dislocated hip. It's not actually that visible, really. It can only be detected by medical professionals. It's what was called back in the day as clicky hip. I think people will probably remember what that is. Yes, it's supposed to be diagnosed or picked up at your new birth checks, and then you have a 6-week check, which is when we were picked up. And I have to say, the earlier the diagnosis, that the much more effective the treatment is. First form of treatment, if they go down that line, is to wear a harness. In this country, we wear Pavlik harnesses, which is my little teddy bear here. I appreciate this is very very visual, but I have with me.
Let's take a picture.
Let's take a picture of the teddy bear. He's not actually wearing an actual Pavlik harness. This is a bear that we've had made with a copy of one on, so the older siblings can understand what their little baby brother or sister is going through. And actually, so they're available now online as well on Hippos.
And can I ask, that harness, is that designed to help cure, eradicate,
absolutely,
improve the condition,
absolutely,
or to, as an aid, or both?
Well, it's a bit of both, really, but basically the aim is to put the hip joints, and you can be bilateral or single, it's on one side or both hips affected, and so the legs actually go into like a frog-like position, which makes and keeps the ball, the hip and ball joint together for a period of anything from 6 to 12 weeks usually. And I have to say as well, early diagnosis, by the time a child is, say, definitely by the time a child is 6 months, that early growth, you've missed your opportunity really for using a Pavlik harness. So you're then talking about other forms of treatment, which I'll talk about in a second. But the point being that this puts the child in a very unusual position, and ordinary clothes don't fit. So at 6 weeks old, I was took my daughter in. She was diagnosed with that. We put the harness on. She was very tiny, actually, because she was born not prem but born very small, and so she was an absolutely minute one. And
so was I.
That's not very good. Anyway, the clothes, basically, they said you have to just cut your clothes up the side. Just get a pair of scissors to brand new clothes, lovely little baby clothes, and just straight up the side. So because they've got straps on them and the legs have to be held in a certain way, and you can't put clothes on underneath the harness, it has to be worn over it. Also, it's important that you don't put waistbands. I see people coming out with kids with trousers, baggy trousers on them. You mustn't put a waistband over the straps because that can inhibit the treatment. So that was fine. We went back and did what every other parent done, ruining our clothes and just thinking we'll just get through this as a process of getting through it. It did seem to have worked, but then when our annual check, it appeared that my daughter's hip had re-dislocated. So she looked like she had to have, she was going to have surgery. And surgery is, I won't go into the details because it's lunchtime and it might put some people off, but you can imagine hip surgery. And the child has to wear then what's called a hip spiker cast, which is, if you break your arm or your leg, you're in a cast, but it comes all the way down from your chest all the way down both legs, and your legs are at a sort of 45 degree angle, a very odd angle. And that's it, you're solid for 3 months.
Oh, good grief.
So the other thing is the cast isn't allowed to get wet. So as a practicality, I thought, well, I'll make my daughter then some trousers to go over this cast, just to keep them dry to start with, because we also had lots of other hospital appointments.
Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you because it's a fascinating story, but did you have a background in clothes making, or is it something you did as a hobby?
Yeah, it is something I do as a hobby. My mum was actually, when I was growing up, was a professional dressmaker. In fact, she made clothes for the rich and famous, so I grew up around fabric material, learned how to sew at a very early age. Design pattern cutting, however, is a completely different skill, and it's something that once later on, once I realised that there was a business opportunity here, I had to teach myself, because I just didn't have the money to be able to go to a what they called a pattern cutter and actually come up with designs, and they're completely of my own design. So it started off with the trousers, and the staff who were treating my daughter said, well, this is amazing, we've never seen anything like this before. And I also noticed that whereas other people I knew whose children were in cast had been approached, complete strangers in the middle of town, saying, what on earth have you done to your child, they're in the car, unbelievable what strangers will say to people, but there you go.
Absolutely.
Nobody ever approached us, and I like to think it's because we were not approachable, but because they just didn't notice that she was in a cast because of her trousers. So from that, I then made more, and I was then encouraged by the staff there to look at that. I had to go back to the drawing board because I hadn't made any clothes for her when she was in Pavlik harness when she was a little baby, and there is a reason for that. I'll explain in a second. And I had to go back to the drawing board, basically. And that's when I then taught myself pattern cutting. And I think, yeah, obviously a background in sewing helped.
Sure.
And I was then given access to parents who were happy to try the different designs. And we eventually got to a prototype that worked.
Right.
Quite quickly, really.
Okay. And do you have a range of clothes that kind of suit every situation, or, you know, sometimes you have to custom make them?
I can custom make them. I don't actually sew them myself anymore. It's one thing I learned early on, is that actually if it's going to be a business, I wasn't going to have the time to be able to make the stuff myself. Yeah. So actually tracking down a UK manufacturer was something that was more difficult when I started back in 2011 is when I set up, and I started trading in 2012.
Right.
But nowadays, actually, I'd definitely say go for it. There's a Meet the Manufacturers event in June in London.
They're
fantastic websites now where you can
The Manufacturers Association and things like that.
MAS. So much easier. Just even that last 4 years, it's been so much easier now to find manufacturers in the UK.
So you have it manufactured in the UK?
Manufactured in the UK, and then bespoke stuff. There's a sewing lady down the road that's from me, who's in Whitstable, who has, you know, all the proper machines and all the rest of it.
Is that Harbour Street, or is that a lady that works on her own?
She works on her own.
Okay.
Yep.
Are you allowed to say her name?
Jackie Bartram.
Okay.
Hello, Jackie.
Useful to know.
Hi, Jackie.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So that's that. But the other reason why I set this business up, and it's kind of an important one, really, and it's what sets me perhaps apart from the other people, is at the same time that my daughter was diagnosed with hip dysplasia, she was also sadly diagnosed with a very rare genetic condition, which means that she's severely disabled.
All right.
So I say that because partly I had a fantastic career that I really enjoyed and have been on the radio before, and that was in museums in Kent, and I had to give that up.
Right.
So I was thinking, well, okay, I've got to have something else to you know,
occupy you.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't just be
a yummy mummy all day, can you?
You could.
Well, I felt quite passionate as well. I didn't want to be. Not diagnosed, that's the wrong thing to say, but I didn't want to be labelled with that situation as well.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
More than just your child's diagnosis in that respect.
Yeah.
It does take an awful lot of time. So that was something positive that came out of it. So absolutely came from my daughter's diagnosis. I wouldn't have had the idea otherwise.
Right.
But it's also an important thing because we were facing very difficult situations, and the hip thing can be fixed.
Sure.
And that's what I get approached all the time by different parents. You know, sometimes husbands ring me up saying, she just can't pick herself up the floor from crying from the diagnosis. And yes, that's it is awful. It's awful to be told your newborn baby's got something wrong with it and it has to wear this horrible...
Plus, at that time, you've got baby blues, you've got hormones all over the place. Yeah. It's tough, isn't it?
Well, you can't take the harness off for 24 hours a day for anything from 6 to 12 weeks.
So babies get chafed skin and that from wearing it?
Can do, yes. You can use micropore tape to make it feel better on that as well.
Mm.
So it is an emotional thing. And I think in creating a product that is, it's not just clothing, basically.
Yeah.
It's a solution.
It's a solution, and it's a social solution. And it's actually the reason why when I was setting up, I got I was given a grant from Unlimited, which is a social enterprise charity in London, based basically on the fact that the products I've got are a social have social benefits. Being able to dress your child and be able to go out normally is really important.
Absolutely. So you launched your business in 2012.
That's when I launched online. Yeah, it was completely online, but it just took from about 6 months from May 11. I set up a limited company, and then did all the designs, found myself a UK manufacturer, got my funding, designed my website. It was a busy time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how did you tackle things like website? Did you have any prior experience?
Absolutely none whatsoever, no. Again, on the market now, there are a lot more solutions, but I go with Free Web Store. I think it's fantastic. Mm. Yes, there are long evenings. I mean, I worked in, 11:30 at night, every night. I think.
So you only work part-time then?
Yeah. This is after looking after my daughter during the day and hospital appointments and things like that. That's one thing I would say to anyone that is starting up, absolutely make sure it's something you're passionate about, because you've got to not mind about putting the hours in.
Absolutely.
And, not paying yourself for that time as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And have you had editorials in Mother and Baby, in parenting magazines, that sort of stuff? Have you gone that way, or how
I've
are you promoting?
Tried to go that way. I do need to do that a lot more, actually. However, last month, I'm really pleased about this. I just won Gold Innovation for the Prima Baby Awards 2015,
which is huge.
Fabulous.
Fantastic. Prima,
thank you. Wow. Yeah, Prima Baby Awards, and beat the likes of John Lewis and Mamas and Papas and all the rest of it.
Excellent.
So, it's great.
Because... But purely, I mean, what you've told us is a fascinating, interesting, heartbreaking kind of story. Yes. And just moving away from the emotional side of this and just looking at it as a business, it's a unique business because it is an ultra niche business. Mm. You currently sell exclusively on the web, or?
I'm not bricks and mortar, it's just completely online, but I'm completely worldwide as well.
Right.
So I supply people all over the world. There aren't many countries I haven't actually supplied into.
Right, okay.
And I've also got a hospital in Cincinnati that purchases bulk, and I also sell to a hospital, the hospital that treated my daughter in Canterbury.
Right.
And that's my plan really for this year, is to really try and expand out to other hospitals, particularly in the NHS.
Yeah.
Because actually if a parent can be given a garment, and here they are, by the way, I know it's very visual for the radio, but they're funny shaped sleep suits, and also then the trousers for the cast, because that's the shape that the legs go in.
Unusual.
But if a parent can be given something at diagnosis and said, go away and say, look, you know, actually it's going to be okay, you can dress your child in this,
you know,
there is a normality. It's just bringing the normal back
into
a situation which is niche, but actually is really fundamental.
Absolutely. I'm just looking at it purely as a business point of view, and saying, on top of all the normal issues that somebody has starting a business, there's another level with this, which is you've got a market out there that you've got to find that's truly global, but quite small, even despite the, you know, as you said to us right up front, it's surprisingly a large number of people that actually have this this problem at birth.
And you don't hear about it until you're involved. I don't know whether you've said this, because your Twitter is going wild. People are interested.
That's great.
This is beautiful material, this cotton.
Yeah, it's good.
Is it made in England, or are you getting it from Turkey, or
the actual
India,
fabric?
If you haven't already.
Yeah, fabric is made worldwide. So it's dyed in the UK, dyed to OTEC standards, which are all sort of child safety. So it has to be as baby clothing. The poppers are nickel free. But the fabric comes from India.
Sorry to interrupt.
It's Egyptian cotton, actually.
Okay. Lovely.
Don't start her on Egypt.
And it's Kilimanjaro.
I haven't gone on any buying trips. That's something to
plan. Okay, with you. The Marriott, darling. Lovely swimming pool.
She used to live in a pyramid.
I've just popped out.
In a sarcophagus, actually, yeah.
She's good for it.
She's a mummy. Sphinx. A yummy mummy, please.
Oh dear,
I was just going to go back to you saying about the marketing side of things.
Yeah.
We shouldn't come onto the radio without talking about STEPS, which is the national charity in this country for all lower limb conditions.
Right.
And STEPS is absolutely fantastic. So they promote me. And also there's the International Hip Dysplasia Institute, which is as it says, international, but it's based in the US. And I'm actually an advocate on their website as well.
Right.
So, it's something that you can't just stand. You know, people have offered me pop-up shops before, and I'm very flattered. That's lovely. But the likelihood of somebody coming past me pretty small, really. But that's fine. And I do want to expand, and there are ways that I'm going to be looking at doing that internationally.
Mm. It's one of the things that I try to explain to people about the power of digital and internet technology, and people don't always think about this. It's a syndrome called the long tail. First identified by a guy called Chris Anderson, who's the editor of Wired magazine, and he wrote about this back in the early 1990s, and he identified very clearly and very early on that the internet and electronic trading is going to open up all kinds of possibilities that were never remotely possible before, based on the fact that you can find a market for something that's there, but very diverse and very hidden.
Yeah.
And HipRose is a classic
long-tail
business.
15 years ago, this wouldn't have been possible.
You couldn't possibly do it any other way, could you?
No, definitely not. And actually, even in the last, like I say, the last sort of 3 years of trading, I've done an awful lot, and the numbers have gone right up, and getting awards and everything, that's fantastic, all because of social media.
Yeah.
But actually, now the opportunities for small businesses, who they were saying, particularly in the textile industry, which is what I know about, I'd like to start this up, we'll set this up, it's definitely possible to get stuff made in the UK.
Yeah.
And if you're talking about small numbers to start with, which you will be doing, you really only can do it in the UK. Otherwise, if you're going elsewhere, you know, Far East or whatever, you're talking large numbers of stock, and then you've got storage issues, and then the shipping and all the rest of it as
absolutely.
Well. So it started off with me being an ethical thing. I wanted stuff made in the UK, but actually, realistically, it just makes good business sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
At this size.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are all kinds of other issues as well with things like that, isn't it? And, you know, like by the time you transport your stuff halfway around the world,
customs,
you know, and the carbon footprint of it all and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff, you think, you know, it's pointless. The other question I wanted to ask you was, as you were kind of going through there and going, and then I did this, and then I did that, and then I did this, and then I did that. And you made reference to the fact that some of the material has a lot of regulations around it in terms of it, presumably its health and safety and its fire hazardness and all that kind of stuff.
And labelling.
This fascinates me as well, because people with specialist businesses will come along and throw this kind of stuff out, and you think, oh, blimey, I could never start a business like that because I don't know about stuff like that. But I'm assuming, nor did you when you started, and you've had to learn as you go along.
And it sounds like you've worked incredibly hard, actually, with a passion, as you say.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that's the thing. I think it's important that you have a really good knowledge. However, you can learn that.
Exactly.
But the passion, you have to have, and that's it.
I think you're absolutely right, Sam. I think you start with the passion, and from the passion comes the willingness to learn, and putting the hours in, putting the legwork in, putting in all the effort that you need to find out all the things you need to do to try stuff, you know what I mean, to find different manufacturers, to find different ways of doing things. You can't possibly do that if you just set out to start a business to make money.
I mean, I'm reinvesting all the profits at the moment as well, and I mean, luckily I'm in a position that can actually do that. But you know, I mean, to give an example, and this isn't on sort of on the heartbreaking side of things, but when my daughter had open heart surgery, when she was 2.5, 2 weeks in hospital, I was sat at a bedside table with the iPad, doing work. But actually, that's the reality of it. And you know, when she had a sort of 2 hours of a week in a special nursery, I was having a business meeting with a business mentor, who I must mention, as well, Nigel Edwards, fantastic. Originally came with Kent Innovation, who then went by the by with Cedar, and then kept me on in a voluntary basis and giving me business advice, mentoring. And I have to say, I think that's another thing. Unless there's a group of you, if you're working on your own, really try and find someone who can give you either just the encouragement to, and support, just to sound out ideas, but ideally, obviously, somebody who has actually got business sort of head on, who can say, we'll go with this next and do that next. Even if they're not of your actual business sector, that doesn't matter. I think just to give the encouragement to go forward, because there are dark days. There are days where you just think, is it really worth it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess every business must have that.
Of course I do.
Sonia's nodding next to me.
Absolutely. We all go there. We all have times.
If you're on your own as a micro business, it must happen a bit more.
Sam, have you just got one baby or two?
Just one daughter,
One daughter. And she's how old now?
She's 5.
And have you a husband as well?
I have, yes. And he's great. Actually, talk about business mentors. He's a real great one for actually bringing me. I have these fantastic creative ideas, and I want to go off and design this and that. And he reins me back in and goes, hang on, you did say you contact the NHS again.
so let's give him a shout.
Craig, yes, thank you, Craig. And thank you to my mum, Jackie, as well, for helping all the design side of things and encouraging me with the sewing. And thanks for having me.
Before you go, we're gonna give you an opportunity to shout out your website for Hippos and your Twitter handle and stuff like that. Well, I'll tell you what, do that now.
Okay, so the website is www.hip-pose.co.uk.
And that's spelled P-O-S-E.
P-O-S-E, And so that's worldwide as well. Yeah. And the Twitter handle is at hippose, but with no hyphen, limited.
Fabulous. Now, you did also
Facebook as well, sorry.
Cool. So do have a look at those websites. There are links to Sam's website on the Kent Business Radio website. Do have a look at that. She wants to just mention something else that she's up to, because she's got tons and tons of spare time, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that wears lots of hats. So the other hat I wear, one of the other hats I wear, is my daughter goes to St Nicholas Special School in Canterbury. Absolutely amazing place. Right. School to just slightly over 200 children, all with medium to profound special needs of various sorts. And really, really wonderful. I'm the fundraising coordinator now for the PTFA of the school, because I have a funding background as well, which is coming handy. And what we're trying to do is raise £100,000 to buy a new playground. Now, when I say a new playground, we're not replacing stuff. For 200 children, there is one swing, and one climbing frame, which is over 25 years old and not great.
Right.
So it's a huge thing. The PTFA has managed to raise £15,500 so far, and we've got wonderful designs. The children have been involved in creating designs for the playground as well. Really, really lovely project. And we have been writing to local companies in the Canterbury area and got some success, but I just think, you know what, that no matter how small it is, any donation would be welcome, and it's very, very much needed and would be really useful, because play is such a fundamental part of every child's life, but you can't really overestimate it for a child with special needs who needs special equipment to be able to play.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, I don't want to interrupt what you're going to say, but what you just said is really important. I'm doing a fundraiser for something else at the moment, and I happen to mention, because somebody mentioned it to me, that if every one of my followers on Twitter donated £1, we'd make enough money to run two charities for a year.
Oh, great. Well, let's pick ours then, shall we? Yeah. We'll split it between us.
Absolutely. So,
so generous of you, thanks.
So, yeah, but I haven't done it yet. No. That's the problem. So it just shows you that it doesn't have to be huge amounts of money.
No, not
if
at
enough
all.
People will donate just a small amount of money, you know, and Sonia knows this because she's been heavily involved in things like Fields of Life and other charity activities. So, you know, if people just, because so many of us get so many of these things that come at us, and you can think, oh, blimey, it's another charity appeal or another Kickstarter appeal. But it's only a few quid, you know. It's not a huge amount of money at all. It's not even, you know, the cost of a pint of beer. And it's certainly not the cost of a packet of cigarettes these days. So, you know, for a few pounds, you can make a big difference.
And I think we've put that, we have a Just Giving page now as well. The school has dedicated one, which is Friends of St Nicholas School. But we've put a link, haven't we, on your website?
There
so
is
I'm
a
really
link,
grateful
there,
for that. Thank
there
you.
Is a link on the homepage of the Kent Business Radio website, right underneath Sam's name, which is a link to the Just Giving page.
Right.
But also, and that will be there for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
But also, we've also put a link in the community page on the Kent Business Radio website, and that'll be there forever, or
fantastic.
Until you go, nah, we made loads of money, and we all went on holiday to Dubai and bought a camel or whatever.
There's always other projects, and the PTFA is a real great bunch of people.
So you can find it currently on the homepage. There is also a link on the community page of the Kent Business Radio website.
Thank you. Very
Sam,
cool.
Let me say that Paul Andrews is available to dance or Zumba in a tutu for most charities.
Raise money not to, or...?
There's actually a really funny photograph on Twitter right at the moment. Louise Henley, who's the chair of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, of which I'm president, and that's who I'm doing it on behalf of, in conjunction with the Herb's Palsy Group. And Juliet from Herb's Palsy and Louise from Kent Deaf Children are in a meeting today, so aren't listening to the show, which I will talk to them about later.
Yeah, they could listen at the same
but
time.
They've just put out a photograph of them wearing pink tutus.
Yeah, fabulous.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I have, unfortunately. Yeah. And I think you're going to look really bad in it.
Do you think?
Well, a sight for sore eyes? No, I don't think so. I'm a bit worried.
I was more concerned about the stockings myself.
There's something very creepy about a man, you
in
know,
stocking.
There's something very creepy about women that try to get you to do such things for charity. I find there's far too much reading of 50 Shades of whatever it is going on here. Anyway, enough of that. Sam, for the moment, thank you so much
for
joining us on
Thanks
the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you
so much for telling us your inspiring, motivating and sensational story. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Stay with us for the rest of the show.
Happy
but for the moment, Sam Bowen of Hippos, thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.
Brilliant. Jules, I think we've got a few tweets that we need to read.
Yes.
We've had a tweet from Alex Waterton of F Keys, who also says, good afternoon, say hi to Sonia. Hello, Sonia, from Alex Waterston of F Keys, and they're listening in Canterbury, and he says it's a great show. Kent Tweetups are listening in. What else have we got here? Caroline Mumford. Sam is amazing. Such enthusiasm for St Nick's PTFA, along with running her business. She is an inspiration to me and everyone else.
Looking after a toddler.
Absolutely, No, absolutely, Caroline. You've already read Brent's camel story out. So
still no picture of his tan line, though, which is what we were really aiming at, weren't we, ladies?
With the waxing.
Yeah.
The Community Show, which is a new show launching on Channel Radio
Thursday week.
Next Thursday, not this Thursday, Thursday after.
Thursday week.
Yeah.
Even.
From being presented by Laura.
Burton Lawrence.
Burton Lawrence, thank you.
And her lovely barrister broker partner.
She says, thank goodness for 4G, we're hearing you loud and clear, sat in the garden.
Do you know, they spend a lot of time in the garden lounging. Have you noticed?
Yeah.